Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumblebip Media, 99.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from. And to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country, as welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, you mob. Now, the Morrison Joyce government, yes, they introduced changes to electoral laws into federal parliament designed to make it harder for First Nations people to vote. Queensland Labor Senator Anita Green said this was a deliberate attempt by the Morrison Joyce government to disenfranchise First Nation people living in Cape York and Torres Straits, and Labor will fight against it. And Labor candidate for Leichhardt, that's a light of faith, said she would fight the laws tooth and nail. And we've got on the line. A very good morning, Lida. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. How's it going? And good morning to all your listeners as well out there today.
Thank you. I'm well. And you got a bit of a bee in your bonnet. Explain what's going on here and how it's disfranchising our people.
Look, Trev, a bee in my bonnet is an understatement. Okay. This has just infuriated me. So you are correct. So the government introduced some legislation to make it harder for Australians to vote. Now, that means that all Australians will have to have ID to vote in Australian elections. So to some people, that's no big deal. Oh, that's cool. You know, you just need to have some ID. But for us up here in far north Queensland and in a lot of our remote Indigenous communities, it is an issue.
Sure.
We know that there are so many vulnerable people in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities that don't always have ID, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means that under these laws, they might not be able to have a chance to have their say.
And for the last 5 years...
I think it's atrocious.
Yeah, and for the last 5 years, there's been a big push, especially in our circle, as in First Nation people. We've been promoting First Nation people to make the vote, to take the vote, put your name down, because it's your vote could change everything, you know, and how important it is. But now there's another, like, a hurdle or hoop to climb through.
That's exactly right. And Trevor, look, you know what? I think people have got a lot of other things on their mind other than having ID to vote. You know, they're thinking about COVID. I've been up in the Cape travelling extensively, and I keep hearing there's huge issues with housing and overcrowding, and now we've got to worry about ID. And I tell you what really makes me wild is the fact that Warren Entsch, who is supposed to be advocating for his electorate and his community... he didn't even bat an eyelid yesterday, and he voted to support these changes.
So that you're asking him to cross the floor with this particular vote, to stop the vote?
He supported the changes, and so they introduced the bill yesterday. So now we've got to wait until November, and then there will be the vote to put to the government. Now, Warren supported it yesterday, supported those changes.
Mm.
That is failing to stand up for the people that he's supposed to be looking after. And
his electorate, yes, constituents.
Shame on him. It really makes me wild. And look, I worked for Centrelink. I've told you this before for 12 years. ID was one of the biggest issues that we had when people were trying to make a claim for a payment. Come on now.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're talking about some of the houses in some of our communities here, they don't have a filing cabinet in the back room to go and put their ID into. You know, they've got 20 people living in that house. I don't have a filing.
Yeah, exactly.
For ID.
Well, it sounds like it's a queue for, for getting votes, and for the people who are not voting for Scott Morrison, then they won't have a say.
You hit the nail on the head there, Trev. Hey, you're not.
Is what it seems that way. Is that the case?
That is the case. They're pushing this through just before we have an election.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're claiming there's fraudulent voting. That isn't even. There is zero credible evidence that election outcomes are being corrupted by any type of voter fraud. The Australian Electoral Commissioner even said that he's totally satisfied with the protections against any type of, you know, multiple fraudulent voting.
Sure.
So this is a clear case of our vulnerable people in our communities, again, big stick out on them.
So when they say the government has introduced the changes, is that in blood? Is that the case, or do they vote on it, or where do we go from here?
No, they haven't voted on it yet. So they've introduced the changes. So put the bill to government yesterday, and sneakily, I might add, here's a bill. And we are now going to wait until our next sitting in November, and that's when it will be voted on by all parties. Now, the Greens and Labor are totally opposed to this, as you can imagine. And if any of your listeners, I suggest that you write a letter or email your local your member Warren Ench and tell him how you feel about this, and you think this is not fair for a disadvantaged community.
But you can sort of understand the reason why too, because there was vote discrepancies in the last election, and but at the same time there was no one prosecuted for the multiple voting at the 2019 federal election.
There was no credible evidence that any election outcomes have been corrupted by voter fraud. No credible evidence.
So why introduce new changes then?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
And also, you're introducing some changes. So what are you going to do now about making sure that those people who don't have appropriate identification, what are you putting in place to make sure it's easy for them to go and get their appropriate ID?
Well, exactly.
There's no plan.
Exactly.
There's no plan.
Well, if you put if you introduce changes, then you've got to have a plan on top of that to make sure that still has a opportunity to vote.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
And for your listeners out there, look, I know politics it's not exciting, not everybody's into it, but, someone's got to run the country, and you would want to make sure that it's the people that look after you and that represent you. And for me, as a candidate, if I'm successful at the federal election, there will never, ever be any question as to whose side I'll be on. I'll be on the side of my community.
Yeah, beautiful. All right. Well, thank you very much for your call. All the best to you, Elida. Please keep in touch, and we hopefully that there's a vote on this. And well, like you said, the Member of Parliament at the moment for the seat of Lygon, Mr. Inch, probably needs to cross the floor in regard to use his vote to stop this awful legislation that will hurt our communities, you could say.
That's right. I'd like to see Mr. Ench cross the floor on this, and I hope that all your listeners do too, and let him know. Write him a letter.
Lovely.
Go on his Facebook page.
Elida, thank you very much. All the best, sister.
Thank you, Trev. See you, everybody.
Bye-bye. There it is, and that's the Labor candidate for Leichhardt, Elida Faith, and she would fight the laws tooth and nail for the introduced changes to electoral laws into federal parliament designed to make it harder for First Nations people to vote, and that's Labor's stand on it. It's going to be hard for our mob. People need to show IDs now, and not a lot of our mob, especially in communities, have IDs. So was that a reason for making the change or introducing changes? There was discrepancy in the last election in regard to fraudulent votes. You can understand why if that is the case, but what's the plan in place is what Elida is saying there. Have you saying, Yanup Strong, add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Hope you will find me. When doubt comes, I'll be gone. Leave your troubles far behind me. I am with you from now on. Over the highways to the mountain, I'll walk by your side, and I'll never ever leave you. My love I'll not hide. There's enough love between us to take whatever comes, and we'll go on together without a mark on this world. Just take all the doubt now and throw it all away. I'll be with you until forever, or as long as I can pray. Just keep thinking of today and the new day to come, and the gifts that we've been given, each and every one. Just take all the doubt and throw it all away. I'll be with you until forever, or as long as I can pray.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry, host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the country thanks to NERS, National Audience Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. FRDC reports on a year of delivering stakeholders. That's the Fisheries Research and Development Corporation. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Dr. Patrick Hone, Managing Director of FRDC, and talk about the report. Good morning. Very well. How are you, my friend Patrick?
I'm good, Trevor. I'm very good.
Cool.
I'd love to meet up there because it's a bit cold down here today.
Where are you based, Patrick?
In Canberra.
In Canberra, yes. Cold down that way and beautiful sunshine up this way, and the heat is on, and Nemo's waiting to be visited. So come and join us here on the Great Barrier Reef, my friend.
Well, I had a great holiday in July, and I drove to the top of Cape York, and it's just a magic
good
country. It's
beautiful.
Just gorgeous.
So you are the managing director of FRDC, and the report has been out, so in 2021. And so give us some information, enlighten us on the report and some of the outcomes, please.
Okay, so look, the Fisheries R&D Corporation is quite unique in that everyone in Australia essentially is our client.
Yes.
And one of our clients who has primacy is what we call the First Nations group, or the Indigenous people.
Yes.
In the report, we talked for the first time about a new policy statement that we've come out, and also an action statement that the Fisheries R&D Corporation has to try and give effect to make sure that what we do is we don't see the Indigenous as a separate group, but we build them into everything. They're just mainstream. Because they just got so many, they can be in the science component, they could be the policy component, they could be in anything that we do, and particularly in the prospectivity area where there's new opportunities.
Yes.
And probably in our business, and I'm not a big dry side person, so don't get me wrong, I love the dry people, but the wet, in us in the wet world, there are so many new and exciting things happen, and we see great opportunities for the Indigenous to have the primacy and really drive those new initiatives.
Good. So quickly, just for our listeners out there, Fisheries Research and Development Corporation. So what is it that you, the job that you do there?
Okay, so we're one of 15 research and development corporations. We're set up by the federal government, and our job is effectively a fisheries research bank. So we're funders. We fund research. But we don't fund research in a traditional sense. We don't fund the normal things that people think, like, you know, what scientists and boffins do, and there's really good science done in that area. But our job is to do the types of knowledge creation that actually makes a difference to people in applied sense, if that makes sense to you. So invest in things that actually change a lot of the science that's done and change it into practical outcomes. So, for example, up in your area at the moment, we're doing a lot of work in fisheries like the jewfish fishery, you know, where there's been issues about the swim bladders. And we've been doing work on the coral trout fishery. And it's about making sure that we've got sustainable catch, but it's done in a way that we can maximise the enjoyment.
So you virtually protect the marine life as well as human beings.
Correct.
Working with marine life and make it a safe space for all, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. And look, we have an enormous freshwater resource. We have great estuaries and we have great ocean territories. And a lot of people enjoy the habitat.
Yes.
Just love the habitat. And we always put the habitat first. We always say, you know, healthy habitats result in healthy communities.
Good.
And that's, you know, our goal, because we want to be here for ever.
And you must have stakeholders or partners when we're talking about First Nation ranges or the national parks and things like that, and national marine life, marine parks?
Yeah, and so we try and, you know how a lot of people like to think about when you work in the oceans or in the land, they get quite contested.
Sure.
We try to talk about everything in partnership. So we say, you know, in the oceans, we work in partnership with sea rangers, with national parks, with the fisheries management, with the environment. So our goal is to work in partnership with everyone to make sure that we get common objectives.
Yep.
And so, yeah, the sea rangers are an amazing group, but so are a lot of the regional communities along our coastline. And they might want to go out and have a good feed.
Yep.
Or they might want to actually create some sort of economic activity, or they might want to do something because it's culturally important to them.
Okay, lovely. And you also must have conversation with, commercial businesses as well, working on the ocean or working in waterways?
Correct. And so we do a lot of work. We work all the way down to the Antarctic with the two fisheries and ice fisheries. We work into the Pacific Ocean with the tuna fisheries. prawn fisheries. So a lot of most of the fish farming activities, like the prawn farmers and the barra farmers. So we do a lot of work with all those guys. They're an important part of our business. More and more, sometimes the lines are blurred.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big one that's happening at the moment is the great interest in seaweeds. And the seaweed can be for habitat restoration. It could be for improving water quality coming off land to make sure we've got filters coming off the land to make sure that the streams and creeks that flow into the Great Barrier Reef are as clean as possible.
Yeah.
But at the same time, maybe harvesting those seaweeds for bioproducts and biofuels or other things. So lots of different contexts, if that makes sense.
Sure. So would some of your stakeholders look at you as in their space, police in their activity?
We would never want to be a police.
No, thank you. But it's about communication protecting the environment and have a smile on your dial while you're doing your business, so to speak.
Yeah, and look, we're not a regulatory body. We're just purely R&D. And I'm a bit of a science fanatic.
Sure. Now, you got a title there, doctor. Doctor in what, Patrick?
Yes, I did a degree many, many, many years ago in, of all things, marine macroalgae. I did my PhD and then I worked in postdoc on abalone and worked up as a scientist on many, many things over the years.
And now holding the reins for the Fisheries Research and Development Corporation.
Correct.
Beautiful. All right, fantastic.
I think there's some great... But we've got lovely stories all around the country where, you've got young people who start off as a passion, you know, they just love the sea and they come and work in our industry and you can meld your passion for the sea with a job and it makes you much more want to deliver. You know, it's more than just a job.
Well, exactly. And the message, like I said, I deliver a lot to our First Nations students at high school is my best definition of job or career is find something you love doing, find someone to pay you to do it or start your own business doing it. Too many people out there working a job they don't like, boss they don't like for 40 hours a week for 40 years.
Oh, yeah. Look, there's a lovely program Shimano and others have been working on, which is the Indigenous Guides Program. I think you might have heard about this.
Yes.
Where young kids in school are taken in sort of like an apprenticeship on a charter boat and taught to be a fishing guide and are provided resources to make it happen. But that's a classic case where, you know, a kid might be a really gun, you know, blue thumb fisher and can turn their passion for wanting to be that into a business.
Not good with geography and English, but good in that space.
Oh, yeah. And being a fishing guide is probably if I had another career and I was good enough, because you really have to be good, it's such a career because you're out on the water every day in your passion.
With Mother Nature.
You get to read the water. You know,
beautiful.
Yeah, so it's just lovely.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing with us the report and all the best to your team, your family. Stay safe and, head up this way again in Cairns and come and join us, my friend.
Well, I think we're all hoping that borders
open up.
So.
That's right. The world we live in.
And we'll be excited. And I just want to shout out to all the people around Cairns while I'm on the with you, and also shout out to our friends up at the top of the Torres Strait. You know, they're just amazing people. They do some great stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look at some of the stuff that TSA is doing at the moment in Torres Strait for commercial fishing you're talking about. You know, it's just a complete change. It's just amazing.
And change is good. Change is the engine of growth. Dr. Patrick, thank you very much. All the best to you, my friend.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You too. Okay, Dr. Patrick Hone, Managing Director of FRDC, which is the Fisheries Research and Development Corporation, and the manager there just talking about the annual report that was released. And, of course, front and centre, First Nation people in regard to the Indigenous Reconciliation Statement of Intent and Actions. And the board has approved that, so which is fantastic. Have your say in Yarnup Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
We get on your mob, it's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
When the power of love defeats love for power, our world will be
love, embrace life. Let's break the chains that bind these feelings. Embrace peace, embrace hope. Let's work together in our dealings. We can share this world together.
Yeah, that daily track, Embrace Love, Power of Love, Johnny Huckle. I hope you're embracing the beautiful yarns we're having here on National Talk Black. Give me a call, have your say, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up with Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor. Everybody else out there.
Yes.
I listened to your Labor
candidate
person. You're talking about...
A lot of faith,
hello?
Yeah. Hello? Yeah, can you hear me? Yep. Hello?
Yeah, yes. I just moved my phone. She said, talking about the ID.
Yeah, for voting. That's a new law that has been introduced, and Labor's fighting it, thinking it's wrong for, well, it's hard for First Nation people, especially in communities, with ID. What's your take?
Yeah, well, I was actually channel surfing yesterday, and I had Parliament question time on, and I actually saw that debate because I heard the mentioned Murray thing. And I think the main point of the ID that was missed, that people might understand, well, everybody's got an ID, it's about photo ID. This is what she didn't mention.
Okay. Yeah, well, ID, I thought straight at a photo, but you're talking about being precise. It's photo ID.
I'm being precise. I saw the thing, and from what I could gather, and it's about photo ID.
Okay.
Which is... Well, that lady didn't mention, and it's just something I heard. So.
Okay. Well, good point. Because not everybody got the driver's license, but I know you can go to the transport department and get a over 18 photo ID. Maybe that's a possibility, you know.
Yeah, but that's really hard for people in remote areas.
Well, exactly. Hence is what she is saying, yes.
Yeah, so maybe someone else can clarify that, but I'm pretty sure it was about photo ID. A lot of people like or dislike that. It's a personal choice. And,
exactly. You know, that's a lot of us saying, if you're going to introduce such changes as to the electoral laws, then what's plan B? What plan have you got to make it okay for, well, First Nation people to have their ID so they can do the vote? I mean, have a plan of attack anyway, if you're going to make changes.
Yeah, if they're having an election soon, they might pass that law and they might turn around and say, oh, well, you haven't got photo ID, you can't.
Well, exactly. Vote. Yeah, that's right. And that's why, was it a plan of attack regarding the vote to get votes on their side and have the people who don't vote for them not have the opportunity to vote? So that was the conversation there with Elida.
Yeah, I think I've always had the view that, especially with Aboriginal things and no treaty, that there should be compulsory voting, and without a treaty, you're voting for the enemy.
Yeah, point taken.
Can I move on to something else? But that was the main reason I called up, and I'm on a little bit early. I'm really concerned about the Mulgrave River and the mayor. I listened to an AB Resort report yesterday too. The mayor, he's asking for $200 million or something to take more water out of the Mulgrave River, and they've tried to do that before, and the farmers went off, and they're already sucking that river dry, mate.
Well, they're talking about there's some they're looking at. So we're a Coppola Dam where Cairns gets its water, they're seeking for a new place or for more water. Come like 30 years down the track, we may be looking for more water. So I think they're starting to look now. And Mulgrave River, you're saying that's a no-go zone?
Well, the mayor, they want to take water from there. I really don't understand how that mayor has been left in. He's under investigation for $150,000 and all kinds of things. And I noticed this Gladys Berejiklian, she's on the TV now, they're grilling her for things. And she had to stand down, the Premier of New South Wales. I do not understand how this mayor has been left in power while he's under investigation. And to connect it up with the man from the fisheries that was just on, I was caretaker at the fisheries at Fisheries Crossing on Goldsborough Valley for years and years, and we built their huge fish traps, which becomes an artificial reef, and then you've got a huge amount of fish there because you're providing the habitat for them.
Yes.
And which happens around human occupation. And he mentioned the jewfish. It's spelled jewfish, D-E-W, like the dew on the grass, which the main food for the dingy, our water river people, you know, the dingy people here. That's, and the water's already low, and if we're going to take that water even lower, the jewfish will be under under threat. Lots of other things.
Sure.
And I think the only way I can go forward is to contact Patnick on the future of the Mulgrave River, the Cairns and Far North Environment Centre. I have so much information and knowledge of that river, and to see more water taken and cane farmers taking more and more water and stuff and the future and the whole management that the Cairns Council amalgamated here with the Southern City, and the mayor signed a deal. I tried to read it out one day on the radio. It was called the Sweet Deal, where the mayor of Cairns, Bob Manning, said he wouldn't have any future involvement in the Sugar Lands. Well, there now he's announced this water. Well, you know, that's running through all the cane farms. So he's broken that deal. And another day, I'd like to read that out. It's only a short thing.
Sure.
So he's broken his word. And this is the man previously on the radio said there's nothing wrong with the reef, the rainforest, or the people. I've just never known someone so wrong in power. And like that Johnny Huckle song just now, the love of power.
Power of love, yeah, exactly.
Power of love, you know. That's a Jimi Hendrix quote, and I've used that on my protest flyers too. But that's enough for today.
Brother, thank you very much for sharing and having your say there, Tony Gibbs. Thank you.
Yeah, and it was the photo ID. I'm really sure.
Photo ID. We'll confirm that.
Okay.
Thank you very much, brother. Thank you. That's Tony Gibbs there having his say, yarning up strong here on National Talk Black. You can do the same by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. And BBM is Bummer Bipper Media. National Talk Black is the program. I'm your host, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and live hit the First Nation radio station in Cairns, BBM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give me a call, have you say, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
We moved on out of country some years ago. We moved on out of country some years ago. Further down the track, we came to a place called Roper River. We moved on out of country some years ago. We got lots of friends and family out here. We got lots of friends and family out here. I don't miss the city lights tonight. I miss my beer, tell you right. We got lots of friends and family out here. No more house we left our drugs behind. No more has we left our troubles behind. Oh, what a life, it's a life to live. The river has plenty and it will give. No more has we left our troubles behind. Rock and roll and blues and reggae too.
country music and gospel groove. Working for the money and jumping hoops. We got rock and roll and blues and reggae too. I'm singing this song for you to visit me. I'm singing this song for you to visit me. Well, you gotta get a permit from the NLC. It's a long, long way from society. I'm singing this song for you to visit me.
Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. On your dingy country, BBM, Bumbleybrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Just Radio Service. Yana, strong your mob, too deadly. Now, be aware to donate new underwear. That's the slogan there from WOW, Wheels of Wellness Mobile Clinic. We're going to catch up with Yana now with Chief Operating Officer and Program Manager Beck Kudus on the line. Beck, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Trevor. I'm well. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So, Wheels of Wellness, based here in Cairns?
Yes, we are. We're based here in Cairns. It was founded by Dr. Amanda Roberts, actually, in 2014.
Mm-hmm. And so what's the work that you actually do there at WOW, Wheels of Wellness?
So Wheels of Wellness is a non-for-profit organisation that delivers medical care, primary health care, to our vulnerable and homeless community.
Yes.
And we do this two ways. We have a van that is fitted out with two consulting rooms, which we take around Cairns and work out of like-minded organisations or in various street locations around Cairns. And we provide a doctor and a nurse and a social worker and a health worker and a podiatrist, and we take medical care direct to those who are our most vulnerable. And we also have a fixed service location. We opened the WOW Hub only in May this year, so we now have, at 264 Grafton Street, we now have a beautiful place called the WOW Hub, which is open to anybody who's doing it tough to come in and have a little bit of respite.
Now, your clients who sleep rough do not have regular access to washing machines, so things like that. It means that clients request underwear on a regular basis, so hence the slogan, be aware to donate new underwear.
Yeah,
neat.
It's a different one, isn't it? It's a little bit different. These are the kinds of days I wish I was Tom Jones, to be quite frank, but I'm not.
No.
So I've got to put it out there. We really could do with some new underwear.
Yeah, because most people would think to donate blankets or jumpers, but not underwear. And fundamental necessity, well, yes, there it is. And let's work towards helping our homeless mob out there in regard to their request.
Yes, it would be amazing, and it's a really important thing to be able to have, you know, a little bit of dignity.
Yes.
It helps a lot with the shame that can be associated with being homeless, and it's a really good way to keep personal hygiene at people's in the front of people's minds. And we do offer showers here at the Hub now, and often when we've had a shower, for those of us who are fortunate enough, we automatically hop out of the shower and put on a nice fresh pair of knickers.
We do. And then sometimes the knickers and the underpants get frazzled, and so we're going to buy some more. What you're saying is buy an extra pair, a packet, and drop it off at WOW.
That would be amazing, even just one pair or a packet. Every little bit helps.
Beautiful.
And particularly when we've got clients preparing for job interviews, it's really important that they feel good when they enter into a job interview. So,
exactly.
Yes, it would be so much appreciated if we could get some undies, new undies donated into the WOW organisation.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, you guys are doing a great job, Dan. Thank you very much for sharing. How long have you been holding the reins there for as Chief Operating Officer?
I've been a part of the organisation close to 4 years now, so I've had the pleasure of seeing the founder's vision and being part of the journey of seeing it where it is today with the funding from Northern Queensland Primary Health Network. We have been fortunate to keep being in operation and keep assisting those who need it most.
Beautiful. They say the best exercise for your heart is bending down, lifting somebody up, and you guys are doing that. Beck, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
All the best to you. You take care, and big shout out to your deadly team there.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the support.
Take care, Beck. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So there it is, fantastic mob here in Cairns and well across the nation. Help our homeless people out there in any way. You can donate a jumper, a blanket. What they're doing here in Cairns is the request from the our mob out there who are homeless is on a regular basis. They're looking for underwear. So as you buy a pair of a packet of underwear for yourself or for your family, buy an extra one. Just drop it off there at WOW. Too deadly. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Got about 9 minutes left on the program, squeezing the yarn, your mob, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, your mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Beautiful track there, always was, always will be. And that's by Natasha Aldridge featuring Phil W there. Big shout out. Hope you're well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. We've got Samantha on the line. WA, good morning. How are you, darling?
I am very well now speaking to you.
good to hear your voice. And how's your deadly new wireless going?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Hear me loud and clear?
Absolutely. I go to sleep listening to your station.
Beautiful.
And I wake up in the morning to it.
Good.
It's paradise here. I've got no complaints.
There you go, my sister. How's John, your beautiful son, your carer?
He's going very, very well. He's going to have to do the shopping.
He's out doing it, or he's about to do it?
That's a big chore. Yes, he knows. He knows how. Oh, he's a good shopper, I tell you.
Yep. Yeah. And is he about to do it, or he's out there now?
He's about to do it now. He's making me a cup of tea.
Good.
And then he'll go off to do the shopping.
That's fantastic. So you've got a good team there, haven't you?
Absolutely, the best.
Good, Sam. Good, good, good. And you got your neighbours tuned into First Nation radio stations as well.
Oh, my gosh, they're all, yes, because I live in a mature area.
Sure.
And I've got them all listening. Yes, it's just lovely. I pass the word around, even to my daughter and my son.
Good, good. So I was just saying, you are the, we could give you the title, the marketing manager for First Nation radio stations.
Oh, that'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
Well, you're doing just that, you know, and like we always got something to share, haven't we? We are all salespeople, you could say. We're telling people about a nice recipe or a good movie to watch. Well, here's
Absolutely.
A good radio station to listen to.
But the information that you have with your visitors to your radio, it's so interesting. It's the water, you know, the drinking water.
Yeah, good.
We have a problem here in West Australia.
Yes.
Because we did have until 4 years ago a massive big dam in a place called Collie.
Okay.
And that was the biggest one. Now, my grandson, who is a master diver, was employed by the water board to go and check that.
Mm.
And the findings he found was it's slush. It wasn't fit to drink.
And that's your drinking water, is it?
And that's the drinking water where it comes from, the Collie Dam.
There you go.
And this is disgusting because now in West Australia, we used to get certain amount of water free.
Yeah.
Now it doesn't happen. The water has gone up astronomically.
And look, that just sheds a light on how precious the liquid is. And we need to look, without it, we can't survive. So we need to look after it and we need to do our bit to nurture water and look after it, yes.
Absolutely. And stop wasting it. This is what we should be doing.
Exactly. A very important conversation we're having here. That's good, Samantha. And people are tuned in, wherever you are. Love and respect water. Respect water. Don't waste it. And,
oh, my gosh, no. Without it, we won't exist.
Exactly.
And another thing, I hope I make it to 100.
Yes.
And the one thing I wish, not to win the lottery, I want to see our government with our beautiful Indigenous representatives in the government because they know what this country is all about. It's their country.
Yeah, beautiful. Nice words. Thank you very much, Samantha.
This is what I hope for.
Yes. And that's only around the corner, isn't it? 100?
Well,
long time, yeah.
Well, I'm 84, but Mother made it to 2 months to 100.
Well, all right, there you go. That's a good goal.
But and our oldest relative in Malta is 108.
Well, there you go, and good genes. You've got good genes.
Absolutely. So I'm going to be around a long time to hold you too, my darling.
You keep doing that. Samantha, all the best to you. Thank you, darling.
Thank you. Say hello to all the listeners. Hello from Samantha from West Australia. God bless you all and keep safe.
Keep safe. Thank you very much, Sam. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Beautiful yarn there, Samantha WA, regular caller and a loyal listener. So thank you very much. And it's come to the time where Trendy Trev got to sign off your mob. I'm back in the hot seat again next week, that is. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are in a pandemic in regard to COVID-19. So get your jab or go to your doctor's, First Nation Health Organisation, and talk about the jab. Get the information, the right information, not from social media. So there it is. Need to protect yourselves, your mob. Take care.